the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
James Curley, the CEO of Levi's, has some great advice for aspiring entrepreneurs.
I think one is understanding it's not about one person. It's not about just a leader. I think that a leader can set vision, it could set tone, it can set conditions for success by bringing like-minded, but also not just like-minded, but people who bring something to the equation that you don't. So the first one is true diversity in your leadership team in all senses of the world, through experience, through diversity, and all of the dynamics that come with that. Second, I think it's important to be aggressively patient, as I mentioned earlier. There are some moments when you just know what needs to get done and you have to get it done. There are other times when you just have to be patient with it and know that the timing is going to actually be in your favor by waiting a little bit. So second is being aggressively patient. And the third, I think, is this confuses people, but I think it's in today's world, it's okay to not take yourself too seriously, but take what you do really seriously. And I think that confuses people. And certainly we hear about millennials and different dynamics of generations and how you need to approach them. But if the common denominator is we actually put diverse set of individuals in leadership together, we work in an aggressively patient way, and we make sure that we have a little fun along the journey, but we're serious about what we do with our brand and our business, those are pretty decent ingredients for success.
Some great tips from James. Now we're going to talk about leadership. Joining me as an insider is Joel Milne. He's a serial entrepreneur and investor. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So I'm curious, when it comes to being a leader, there's always the topic of management as well. So do you have a clear distinction between the difference between being a leader and a manager?
Well, I think great managers are leaders, but not necessarily the opposite, right? So I think a leader is going to, set by example, is going to inspire the people that work for them. And, I think a manager can have a much broader scale than that.
Managers and leaders, when it comes to corporations, both play a role in making sure that the company culture is amazing.
Yeah.
So how important is company culture? I think it's one of the most discussed, undervalued topics when it comes to business.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking to like the billionaires, like, CEO of Zappos or CEO of Levi's in this case. So how important is company culture? And do you have some practical tips to expand on?
Sure. I mean, I think company culture is critical. I think you want to really think about that early on, because I find that once it gets set or once you hire those first handful of employees, whatever it is, it's really hard to change. You mentioned Zappos, that's a great example. I mean, they're at the forefront of it, but the current change that they're going through is really hard. I mean, it's phenomenal what they're doing. So I think taking that back, you want to really set that up front. And so you want to hire the people that fit into that culture and make sure that they value that and whatnot. So
how do you ultimately go about setting culture for your organization? I don't think a lot of companies actually know how to create great culture.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with values, right? Sitting down, I know there's all kinds of fluffy exercises that a lot of people don't do. Fluffy is the wrong word, but there's all kinds of exercises that you can go through to set your values, set your mission statement, lay out, put it in paper, figure out what you stand for, what kind of company you want to have, right? I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, you can have pretty much whatever kind of company you want. Anything from a sweatshop to a place that people love coming to every day. And so, is that valuable for your business? Is great employees strategically important? It all depends on your business.
I consult with a lot of small businesses and I don't see a lot of organizations actually have company values, and then they don't make their employees know them, obviously, because they don't even have company values mapped out. So how important are company values? And when you do have them set in your organization, how consistently should you make sure that your employees are in alignment with that?
Well, it's super important. And I think that from the day that you interview somebody all the way through each, whether you do quarterly reviews or annual reviews, hopefully no more than annual, you're, aligning on that. You can't really communicate them if you haven't written them down and actually haven't, formalized them, right? So you kind of got to go through that process. And I think it's critical. And I think that, it's been a challenge over the years. Most companies, their mission statement is make money. right? The ones who haven't written it down, you know, the de facto mission statement is we just want to be here to make money. And if you don't define it, that's what it's going to be. And that's how your employees are going to treat it, right? If I can make more money over at this job, I'm going to switch over to this job. And so I think having a greater mission is the starting step towards aligning on that culture and values.
Something that one of our guests shared on the show is what they do in their organization, and I loved it, is they have every single employee, even from top down to the bottom, they have every single person write anonymous reviews about every single person in the company for the smaller ones, not like the huge ones, right? For the small organizations, each person writes a review on everybody in regards to, are they acting in congruency and alignment with the values? What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good exercise?
I mean, I think, look, it's a great exercise if you can logistically and implement something like that, right? That doesn't really scale. So
you could do it in segmentations of,
you know, we've often implemented these 360 review software. So you know, you review up, you review down. And I think that's really helpful in the organization. There's so many good tools out there for really inexpensive prices that allow you to implement these HR, you know, reviews and culture, you know, assessments. And so I think whether you're an organization of five people or you're you know, thousands of people, there's so many, you know, great products out there to do these kind of things.
What are some great qualities of leaders? We're talking about leadership right now. Yeah. So I'm curious, what do you think are some great qualities?
You know, I think leaders should be inspirational, but yet reachable or attainable. So, you know, I like to have relationships with all the people I work with, right? I like to go to lunch with people. I like to go to coffee with people. I like to see them outside the office. And I think that being, you know, I don't want to say you need to be friends with all your employees, right? You don't. And that's probably
you got to draw the line somewhere.
You got to draw the line somewhere. But I think that you'd want, I want people I work with to say, I'd like to go have a beer with that person or, you know, play a board game or whatever.
So what are some great qualities about yourself that make you a good leader?
I'm probably not qualified to answer that question, but...
you should be.
you know, I like to think that, you know, when the work is tough, I join them for the work, but I also, you know, I treat people with respect and I don't yell at people. You know, I get angry on occasion, everyone does, but I'm not a slave master, and I'm a very, what's the opposite of micromanager? Non-micromanager?
That's it, works for me.
I don't micromanage people. That's not my style at all. I like to bring in really good people and let them take ownership of things and, you know, do my work and let them do their work. And, you know, I'll coach them, I'll give ideas and I'll give thoughts, but if it's not working, then I'm not gonna go in and micromanage. I'm gonna have to, you know, if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. So that's my
style. I know you have a great background when it comes to building awesome tech teams. So what are some practical tips for somebody who is in the tech space or in really any business at all that's going to work for them to hire incredible, I call them 4-minute milers, A-list players on your team?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's the bad news is it's probably one of the toughest times in the last, you know, in history or if not, you know, last 20 years to hire good tech people right now. So
why is that?
There's no... If there was a silver bullet, somebody, you know, I'd love to hear it. The reason is because there's no, you know, we've had many years of economic growth. We've had an incredible amount of venture capital come in and companies started over the last 5 years. And we have a shortage of engineers in this country. And we have an immigration system that's very difficult to bring people in, right?
Becoming a leader is not something that happens overnight. And I know your journey started when you were fresh out of college, right?
Yes.
So how did you ultimately develop yourself into becoming a leader?
I think it's definitely modeling other great leaders is fine, but everyone I think has to find their own style, right? And so, you know, I would encourage, you know, it's being a leader is about having good relationships, right? It's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's not about having the best idea. It's about having high EQ, right? So if I were to...
How important is emotional intelligence? I'm glad you brought that up. The one thing we have to control all the time is our emotions, or otherwise it's going to ultimately influence and impact how we think, feel, and behave. It can ruin relationships, impact business dramatically. So emotional intelligence is huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're probably better off going to see a therapist to become a leader than
going to see a therapist.
Watching, reading quotes by Warren Buffett, right? Now, you know, I say that in jest, but yeah. I think working on self-awareness and self-improvement in your relationships, whether that's, you know, with your employees, with your partners, will go a long way in all aspects of your life and particularly is becoming a leader.
So emotional intelligence, you got to become your own and integrate your own style in there, but ultimately follow some great leaders to learn how to become one. But of course, you got to be unique, put your own twist on it.
I think so, yeah.
I love that. Appreciate you for coming on the show, Joel.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
You shouldn't.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Siobhan Moran. She's the president and CEO of Energetic Solutions. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm excited.
I'm excited as well.
I've been watching the show a while.
Especially since we're friends.
I know, right?
It makes this fun.
Totally does.
So what is Energetic Solutions? What is your company?
So it's designed to take business principles and softer, subtle principles into mindset, business building, strategy, technology, technique, all of the different things that it requires business, sales, all those things, and bring them into one whole. Because generally what happens is, you know, I mean, think about this. Like when you go to school, you go to math and then you go to science and so on and so forth. And nobody at the end says, well, here's your bow, other than you get a great big, you know, diploma.
They're all separate things.
They're all separate. And so at our company at Energetic Solutions, we bring them all together. Okay. So it really helps people have a higher trajectory more easily.
So I've been to your events before, which are amazing. Yeah. And some of the things that you try to teach people, kind of what you were just saying here is, you know, the woo-woo, the energy stuff. Some people most commonly would know of like a Deepak Chopra who talks about mind, body, and spirit and how everything is energy and vibrations and law of attraction. You take that and go even deeper with it, but you teach people how to overcome kind of like the woo-woo stuff and understand how this is real, there's science that backs this stuff, and here's how it's either been impacting your life and you're not even aware of it, and here's how now that you can first increase your awareness around it, how you can actually take this and integrate it into your life and benefit from it financially and so many other ways. So do you want to talk about what some of those woo-woo things are about the energy?
Totally. So here's something. The first thing that comes to my mind is most people don't know their numbers.
What do you mean by numbers?
Like, do you know how much is in your bank account at all times? Right? Do you know how to find somebody who's going to help you know how much is in your bank account, right? Yeah. So really, we just go on a hope and a prayer. And particularly whenever you get off into your own business, you know, you got your idea, you're going for it, and people are going to start paying you.
Or you haven't been knocked down yet.
Yeah, you get your first client, it's like, yay! And then you realize you got to pay rent. Yeah. And then you realize that you probably want to do this again, and you don't have a system. And the beginning of everything, even in the universe, is numbers, ones and zeros, right?
So I take, you're a programmer.
I'm a programmer, right?
ones and zeros.
We start at prime numbers. And you take that back to that principle and say, okay, how does that apply to where I am in my body, my brain, my life, and my business? if you can't pay your rent or you're meditating on a problem, you're going to have more problems. How does that apply to the numbers that are in your bank account? So I take all of those very esoteric, Einstein said this, yeah. and Deepak Chopra said this, and Steve Jobs said this, yeah. and I bring them all together. So what occurs is it really flows in the business. So numbers is one. The other thing is we tend to have the concept from coming from the industrial age, harder work gets more results. Yeah. And that's going to burn us out. That was my story.
And it is true at a level, right? It's like the harder I work, the luckier I get. But I always just want to find the way to hack it and get the shortcut.
I'm totally a hacker.
And, some people would think, I think a lot of the times too, as growing up, we've been conditioned that, taking the shortcut is a bad thing and
don't break the rules.
And if you're not a hard worker, then you're just trying to skate by and that's not a good thing. Yeah. And so screw that. I've studied enough where it's like, it's about working smart. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. And I think the hardest workers are people that do manual labor. So don't try to make the hard work thing as a comparison because, you can grind 18 hours, but if your hands at the end of the day don't have calluses on them, maybe you didn't really work that hard.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think it's all about working smart. And I love how you take that and integrate that into the business teachings.
Well, there's one thing that happens with every single person. You said it earlier, a bump in the road or everything's going great and then you have those moments, right? Yeah. And then you end up getting in this place I called Poopyville. Yeah. You've heard me say that. And Poopyville is when things just really suck. Mm. And what do you do? And it's like people say, oh, let it go, just get over it. That doesn't work. And as many times as people have said that to you, it's never going to change.
Yeah.
And so I have all of these hacks to get you back into your flow state. And flow state is exactly where we're meant to be.
So I want to talk about flow state because I don't think a lot of people know how to, even if they know what it is, they don't know how to get into
it.
CEO of Energetic Solutions, Siobhan Moran, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. So flow state is what we were just talking about. Yeah. Some people know about it. Like, you get into flow state, you watch professional athletes, they get into a flow state and that's when they start making all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get into a flow state on stage when you start speaking after the first 2 or 3 minutes of being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Then you get into a flow state or an interview. I always like to skip ahead on stage or skip ahead on interviews because that's when the people get into a flow state.
Totally.
So how do people get into flow state?
Yeah, first of all, most times we're circling outside of our body. So that sounds really a little kind of out there, but we're really worried about what's next rather than what's now.
Okay.
And whenever we're worried about what's now, whenever we're here with what's now, we're actually grounded and anchored. Imagine you're standing out on the grass with your feet and your toes standing on the grass. And what happens is that grounds you into the earth. And it's like a grounding plug of electricity.
Yeah.
So you're anchored in. And then what happens is you can start getting into flow state. And every time you're out of flow state is when your squirrel, Facebook,
So they're focused on what's next instead of what's happening now. Back to kind of like people always hear, practice being more present. So first to get grounded and get into flow state, you have to be present.
Mm-hmm. You have to be really anchored in the moment.
How did you even get into this? Take me back to the beginning of your story.
Oh my God.
What led you into, from programming into spiritual development into business coaching? How did your journey take you to where you are?
First business, 11 years old. I was mowing lawns because I wanted a blouse my parents wouldn't pay for. Not that they couldn't afford it, they just said they wouldn't.
It's either a blouse or a bike or a toy
something. It's a something, right? And so I went, I'm a little girl mowing lawns, and I picked the biggest lawn because I wanted the most amount of money. I wanted that blouse in 5 mows is really the way I thought about it. That's how I thought about it. So that was the first one.
Launch me ahead. Go on to college.
Yeah,
after.
Yeah. So was a programmer at 14 because my mom wanted me to be a programmer. I wanted to be a model. My mom wanted me to be a programmer, right?
Two completely different spectrums.
Totally different things. And I loved it. I was really good at it. They accelerated me through school, did that in college. And I had this other thing that I wanted to do, which was art. So left brain, right brain. And I didn't know until recently that those really were synchronistic. And so then, fast forward, wanted to live in California, made that happen. First moved out here, and the first company I go to work for, coolest entrepreneurs ever, right? It's not like I ever wanted to be an entrepreneur. It's just they were amazing. Yeah. The guy who invented the under-desk keyboard drawers and the articulating arms, they were the first inventors of that. Yeah, I've been doing this since I was 12. And
that's what really excited you about the possibility of entrepreneurship?
I just watched what happened. I mean, there was 12 of us. There were a little few of us, and we had this giant building. We were going to fill it, and we were going to sell it. And this was the whole mission the whole time around. So we get into this, and I'm doing marketing, I'm doing sales, I'm doing customer service, yeah. I'm doing computer programming, I'm doing imaging, I'm doing writing. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This is important.
I love that. So that was kind of like the spark that happened, which I always like to find out, you know, what was the spark that triggered you to want to be an entrepreneur? We'll be right back with Siobhan Moran. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. U.S. entrepreneurs continue to project a strong business outlook despite a slight dip in economic confidence. According to the Spring 2019 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, nearly 70% plan to expand and more than half predict rising revenues. Even as growth remains a focus, entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect against potential threats to their business. Nearly two-thirds have a business continuity plan in the event of a natural disaster, while the majority have taken steps to prepare for an economic downturn and secure data against a cyber breach. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business, Bank of America.
Small business owners remain optimistic about their business outlook and their ability to grow in the year ahead. However, while most entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect their business from potential threats such as natural disasters, an economic downturn, or a cyber breach, a sizable number still are not.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Natalie Edel. She's the CEO and founder of IndieU. Natalie, give us the elevator pitch.
All right. Well, a lot of musicians nowadays are trying to figure out ways to grow and sustain a fan base. So we have created a platform in order for musicians to connect to their local colleges. And basically, the students on these campuses can create their own events and book those musicians in their college parties in order to help these artists grow a strong college fan base.
I love that. I was in a garage band back in high school. Played music and everything. But,
that's awesome.
You know, a platform like this would have probably maybe given me a little more hope.
Yeah, you could have played in some frat parties, like 400 new fans right there.
That's right. So I know that you were talking earlier in our last segment about, you know, your first year, you kind of struggle as most entrepreneurs do, but a lot of the times when you finally get that lift off and you start to get some momentum, that's where success happens. Where was the tipping point in your business where you started to get some lift off and actually become a profitable business?
Yeah, definitely.
Was it second year, third year?
It was probably the second year where I became super clear on what it is we're doing and what my goal was, which is this event creation ticketing platform. And, you know, like I said, we have these college reps, so basically we have about 50 students on 20 schools across the nation that kind of are our brand ambassadors. So they're on these campuses, they're vouching for IndieU, they're throwing parties and booking musicians and getting on the radio station and the campus newspapers. And we started with those 20 campuses, and now we have over 250 campuses that are interested in us opening on their campus. So I think just seeing kind of that development and the schools adding on was something that showed me like, okay, this is really cool. Like these people actually want IndieU on their campuses.
Do you have any stories yet where somebody has come on your platform and just kind of shared an incredible story about, hey, here's how your platform has either made our event amazing because we were able to find talent, or on the flip side of it as a musician, hey, your platform has allowed me to get my message out there, share my music with people, and it's just been incredible. Do you have stories like that?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, we're building out the event creation part of it.
The event part is coming out.
Yeah, so the event creation ticketing booking system is coming out in like the next 3 or 4 months. Okay. But I mean, we found it's pretty cool, like Oh Wonder. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a band we did a review on before they were even anyone knew who they were. And now they're selling out, you know, not stadiums. They're selling out, you know, huge venues in LA, and they're from London. So that was super cool, being able to do that. And then we sponsored Dillo Day, which is Northwestern's largest student-run music festival in the nation. And Tink, our headlining act, went on and signed to Timbaland's record label. Cool. So it's cool that we're like being able to discover these musicians like right before they reach that next level. And many students have reached out to me saying how they're so excited about this event creation tool because they've always wanted to throw, you know, a recurring Thursday night party at their apartment and they always want new artists and stuff. So
a big trend right now, as you and I both know, is raising money. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're in the process right now of raising money. Mm-hmm. What are some of the fears that are coming up around raising money? I feel like a lot of people out there think either they have completely wrong expectations about how they think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Oh, I got the best idea. I got the best product. Yeah. Got this. And they just think it's going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Or on the other side, maybe people think that it's impossible and nobody would ever give them money.
Yeah.
So what are some of the fears that you're coming up with and feeling inside about raising money?
Well, you definitely have to believe what you're doing is worth people investing and that you will raise the money. I'm a very positive person. So, you know, one time someone asked me like, well, what happens if it doesn't work out? And I'm like, to be honest, I've never even thought of that question. Or how to even answer it, which is pretty cool. So I think in the beginning, I was a little nervous because I was like, hey, we're raising $500,000. Like, this raise is going to take IndieU to the next level. I'm going to be able to hire people. We're going to build out the revenue generating ticketing feature and really expand on these universities. But once I got the first investor in, it kind of has been rolling, which is pretty cool. So Catherine Francis, she's one of the heads of Mindbody, which is, you know, multi-billion dollar company. Jesse Draper, she's one of my newest investors, which I'm really excited about, like being able to work with her. A strategic music publishing company is going to be investing, which is really cool because they want to obviously, you know, be a huge part in what we're creating because we have over 10,000 songs on our platform right now. So they see like the potential of that. So
how did you get those people to come on board, though? Because I feel like, you know, congratulations, by the way. It's very impressive to get people like that.
Thank you.
But how did you ultimately get those people to come on board?
Yeah.
Did you time a new vision?
I was putting myself out there, to be honest. I did.
Like when you went and knocked on the back door.
Exactly. Well, I was asked if I wanted to do a demo day. So basically go up in front of, you know, 400 people and pitch my company in front of a panel of investors. And at first I was like, no. And then I was like, yes.
So push yourself through the
exactly. So one of the investors from there ended up investing. And then
good lesson right there for people out
exactly.
there who are terrified.
And then the next one is like the same story. I was asked if I'd pitch to Tim Draper. And Tim Draper's a billionaire. And I was like, oh my God, I can't say no.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, sure, I'll pitch. And he came in the next day. Wow. And he came in and I pitched to him. And afterwards, he's like, I really want you to meet my daughter. I think she'd really like what you're doing. And that's kind of how that happened. And then connections and networking, you know, with the other ones. It's really just like meeting different people and always being extremely enthusiastic about what you're doing. And I think people need to understand, like, your idea obviously has to have, you know, substantive, what's the word, backing to like what you're doing and a revenue model and business model and this sort of stuff.
I think you nailed it on the head right there, though, is networking and pushing yourself through being uncomfortable is what a lot of us have to work on.
Yeah.
Founder and CEO of IndieU, Natalie Edel, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. How did you develop the mindset that you have? I feel like you're very confident, and I don't know if you've always been confident, but I myself, you know, as a kid, always struggled with self-doubts and limiting beliefs and, oh, I'm not good enough. And, you know, the deepest fears of all people are at the end of the day, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of love.
Yeah.
And I think at some point, if we're lucky, we build up some confidence.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've got the strong mindset. And there's an old saying, 80% of your success is psychology and 20% is the mechanics or the strategy and the tactics. So how did you develop the mindset that you have?
It's actually pretty ironic because so from tennis, I had some coaches that were, they're not from America. They had a different mindset, a different work ethic, and that's kind of what was instilled in me. Mm. So no matter if I was crying or throwing up on the side of the court or whatever it would be, I had to push through it. And when I played tennis, my weakness was my mind. Mm. It wasn't my talent and my ability to play tennis. And I feel like as I've grown older, what I've learned from tennis has kind of flipped it for me and now made my strength my mind with this company, which is cool. So I think just that work ethic that was like instilled in me. And then obviously just like being positive. I mean, I do yoga, I meditate.
I know you've built a team, an army of interns. Mm-hmm. What has really been the key to getting interns on board? I feel like a lot of people think that in order to grow their business, the first thing they need to do or that they can't do as a limiting belief is, oh, I don't have the funds to allocate to hiring a team.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times you can find really smart, really go-getter young people and high school or college or recent college graduates that will contribute some of their time. And you've done a great job of finding those people and getting them to come together and support you. How have you been able to do that?
Well, I think because, you know, first off, we have these campus reps and all these different campuses across the nation. It's kind of instilled in me, like, you know, motivate these students. They love what you're doing. They're passionate about it as well. So kind of feed into that passion and say, okay, great. You want to be a part of this and work with me. Mm. I'm a really big team player. So I'm never like, it was me, 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 me. You know, I'll always be like, oh, you know, my intern made this. Isn't it amazing? Or she came up with this idea. So I think it's really just playing into their strengths and that passion for music that they all have. And, you know, just putting it out there as well. Like I post on all the job boards, like looking for someone to do this and that. And it's, I'm going to say it's a lot easier to recruit for a music company than it probably would be for another business, sort of company. It's just, you know, who doesn't want to work in the music industry?
That's right. Especially young people.
Yeah.
So do you have a quote that you live by or a couple quotes that you live by? I feel like in life, as I speak around the world on different stages, I see people that are constantly either empowered or disempowered by conscious or unconscious questions, quotes, stories, or sayings that they're playing in their mind. Like you can ask people a lot of the time and they, you can just see really quickly in a conversation that a depressed person is playing a story or asking themselves negative questions and living by sayings that really hold them back. So I feel like somebody like yourself who's positive, confident, and just, I feel like just an all-around passionate individual about life and about business, you must have some questions, some quotes, some stories, or some sayings that you play in your head that kind of keep you on track. So do you have any that you could share with us?
Well, one that I could think of right now would probably be think and you become. So, you know, it, you're just so, your mind is such a strong tool that I think a lot of people don't understand. You could be in a situation and be like, the world's ending, like this is horrible, or grow up in a situation and be like, there's no way I could ever get out of this situation.
Because of my circumstances.
Because of my circumstances. Yeah. But there's so many people that once they tap into that understanding that if they start thinking a certain way and believing in themselves a certain way, that they will become that way. So I think that's something I truly do live by.
Reminds me of a quote that I live by, and that is basically a different rendition of what you said, and that is the quality of your life is in direct proportion to the quality of your thoughts. And that's very similar to what you were just saying. As we come to a wrap on our segment here, for the person who's out there, they have their 9-to-5 job and they're just struggling to know when the right time is to cut the cord, because maybe they have a family, they need to pay bills, maybe they're just up to their neck in debt like most people are, and they need the money coming in to even survive, and yet they really want to follow their passion and go and start a business, and they're listening to shows like this to connect the puzzle pieces.
Sure.
When is the right time for them to start their business? I mean, a lot of people would say that it's save up some money and then do it.
You know, I'm unconventional.
Do your side hustle. What do you say?
I would say do it now. I really don't think there's a point of living if you're not doing something you love every day. Like waking up every day and going to a job that you hate or with a boss that you despise. Like there's no point of that. And at the end of the day, you're going to wake up and be like, what did I do with my life? So if I were to talk to somebody, I would say, okay, you have obviously a different situation. You have kids, you have a family, you need to, you know, you have bills. So I would say focus on your company and do some side gigs on the side to be generating revenue.
I love that. It's very simple advice. A lot of people have differing opinions of when the right time is to get started.
But
I feel like the most common thing people say is, you know, like Nike, just get
just
out there and just do it.
Nike.
Natalie, pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now a Business Rockstars Minute. Where is everybody looking for you? Try LinkedIn. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. With over 433 million members, LinkedIn is the world's largest professional network. 40% of its members visit every single day. So, why is LinkedIn so crucial to making a first impression? Well, there's a good chance before you enter that meeting, somebody has already checked you out on LinkedIn. It is a great way for a potential employer or client to do their homework on you. You see, LinkedIn is one of the best platforms for you to control what message is out there about you. It's about how you want to be perceived. Would you take a meeting with you after reviewing your profile? Think about that. Spend some time on your LinkedIn, put a picture on there maybe, and take it seriously. Make it look great and watch your connections grow. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, Small Business Executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
This is Business Rockstars. We've got one here today. Again, James Arthur Ray from Harmonic Wealth Global.
Yes,
nice
sir.
To see you, James. Thank you.
It's good to see you.
And
thanks
also the man behind The Secret, which is one of the most empowering books and movies I've ever seen. I mean, by getting the inside out.
Well, I was one of the guys behind The Secret.
Okay. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't take all credit for that. But yeah, you know, I think everything happens from the inside out, whether it's running a business or running a life. Mm-hmm. You know, who you are, your results are a reflection of you.
Yeah. What is it about some entrepreneurs that feel like they have to be the boss? They have to be not mean, but you know what I mean? You know, you do what I say. I'm sure there are still people like that around. I don't know why. But I mean, how do you change those people who go in every day and, you know, you respect me, my door's closed, you can't come in, that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, my personal belief, Pat, is that if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room, right? I mean, I want to be in a room where I'm the least intelligent guy in the room, because that's going to be some synergy, and maybe I'll get something through osmosis. I think a lot of that is ignorance. Mm-hmm. And we're all ignorant. You know, we think that's a pejorative term, but in the literal sense, it's an ignorance of something, some fundamental fact. And I think that's, you know, conditioning that because I have a position, I have to be the smartest guy or gal in the room. Yeah. And you know, when you look at the businesses that are really thriving, like a Zappos, for instance, or many others, they are really an amalgam of a lot of great minds and a lot of great input.
There's a lot to being a people person too, right? I mean, getting involved and empowered along with your employees.
Well, yeah, I mean, Daniel Goleman, who is the guy in emotional intelligence, his research proves that emotional intelligence predicts business success far beyond, you know, intellectual intelligence. And so that's an ability that we have to develop, or if we don't have it inherently, then we probably need to be smart enough to bring someone onto our team who has it and let them handle the people issues.
James Arthur Ray is our guest from Harmonic Wealth Global. And, you know, I think it takes a big man, and I mean this, if you have a spat with somebody at work and you're the boss, to be able, at the end of that day, put your arm around the guy and say, look, we had a little, you know, problem, let's get over it, and not both go home with that on your mind, right? I mean, I think if everybody could just do that, That's a great start.
It really is. In fact, that just happened to me this week with one of my team members. I sat down with her and I said, hey, look, you know, I'm really sorry how I handled that. I could have handled it better. In many cases, sometimes I think the point I'm trying to make is right, but my delivery is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I think that
Let's stop right there.
Yeah.
There is a way to do that, right?
Sure.
To disagree with somebody in the delivery, the right way.
There is. I think what you have to keep in mind, Pat, in my experience, is that you can adamantly disagree with a behavior, but you never minimize the person. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes that's a finesse, right? But as long as you hold the person in the highest regard, you can separate that. And both of you talk about the behavior, and now that's over here, right? But I'm always going to respect and honor the person. And if you get good at that, then you're really good.
You know, I was talking to a guy that works with us here, and I had some ideas for him. And I said, what about this? What about that? What about that? And he was saying no with good reason to all of them. And so I finally said, well, this conversation has been pointless, right? And he said, 100%. So, and then we hung up. I mean, that's the great, and we're both fine with it. We're very good friends. You know, how do you empower your employees or people around you? I mean, you're an empowering guy for one thing, but how do you do that? How do you transfer that?
Well, the fact is you don't. People have to empower themselves. And as a great leader, what we have the ability to do is to create a context and an environment where they hopefully will do that. And it's tough, Pat.
What's the lesson you can give to entrepreneurs to start today with treating your people better at work if they're
Well, I think we all have to remember that we're 1099 employees to life.
Right.
Right? I mean, and the contract's going to be up.
That made me feel bad.
Well, the contract's going to be up faster than we know.
Right.
Faster than we want, for sure. I don't care, you know, if you're the CEO. I was running a $10 million business, and it was gone in a matter of months. You know, it can be gone just like that. So if we continue to remind ourselves that everyone on our team is a volunteer, you know, even if they're on payroll, they can go elsewhere. There's nothing keeping them here besides hopefully passion, purpose, and hopefully you're paying them well. You know, they're getting rewarded, but that's the least of the three, mm-hmm. according to research. So if we can remember that, then we might begin to approach people a little bit more carefully.
And
let's
get spiritual for a minute, because I actually think that the best thing I've learned in my life in the last 10 years is gratitude. And I get up every day and I make a gratitude list in the morning and make one at night. And I rarely miss that. And because I look at those and I don't write down things that are obvious. You know, I've got great work and this and I got a nice car. I write things that, you know, fresh air, clean water. You know, I go outside and there's plants. I think people either think that that's not for them and they don't, I know you realize it, but they don't realize how great that is for your soul to look at that.
Well, it's not only great for your soul, but it's great for your results. Mm-hmm. You know, you may remember I was the guy in The Secret who talked about gratitude. My first book, The Science of Success, had a whole chapter on gratitude. You know, gratitude is the most powerful, magnetic, attractive force in the universe, Pat. And so, because when you're around someone who's grateful, they exude this energy that makes you want to be around them. It makes you want to help them. When you're with someone who is not grateful, they exude an energy as well. And so, I had a CEO ask me once when he looked through my book, I thought this was a book, The Science of Success. I thought this was a book on success. I said, it is. And he said, well, why do you have a whole chapter on gratitude? I thought you just don't get it.
Right.
And so, you know, gratitude is the antidote. You cannot be in anger and fear, two of the most disempowering emotions, when you're grateful. You know, I mean, try as hard as you may, you can't.
James Arthur Roy, I'm grateful you came in.
I'm grateful to be here.
And glad we're friends.
Yeah, likewise.
You're watching Business Rockstars. We're all friends, a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. I am Pat O'Brien, and you've been watching Business Rockstars.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.